From GPB News, this is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Tomorrow, we'll hear about a group in Atlanta that gathers every week to talk about death. Only this group is not grieving. Are you involved in a club that we should know about? Call us at 404-500-9457 to be part of the discussion, and then be sure to join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. for more. Now, the first in a new series. Every so often, my producers happen upon a guest who has a great story to tell, but they don't tell me anything about them. You get to figure out who it is at the same time that I do. We're calling it No Notes.
This is Celeste Headlee.
Hello.
Hi, Celeste.
Thank you for coming in.
Sure.
So I was sitting in the studio when a woman walked in, short hair, colorful vest.
I'm ready, I think.
She's a very good sport.
Need more? Testing, testing. Hello.
The woman I met may have a famous voice, but not a household name.
Okay. So tell me your name.
My name is Susan Bennett.
And Susan, you're here to tell me a story that I do not know.
I am.
So let's start at the beginning of the story. Where did this event or occurrence begin?
It actually began in Atlanta 10 years ago. And it didn't really come to fruition or public knowledge until many years later.
So how did it get started 10 years ago?
It had to do with a recording.
A recording of?
Of my voice.
You're a singer.
I'm a singer, and I'm a voice talent.
Okay. So what were you singing?
Well, at the time, I had a band called Interactive, which was a private event band. And we worked all over the city and all over the Southeast, actually.
A private event, meaning you did parties and...
Parties, yes.
Conventions.
Yes, conventions. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it significant, the song you were singing?
No.
Okay.
In no way.
But you were with your band Interactive and you made this recording.
No, I was referring to recording of voice work. Yeah.
Oh, you do voiceovers.
I'm a voiceover person, yes.
And you were all the way back in 10 years ago.
Oh, way back farther than that.
Okay,
yes.
So what were you voicing?
What was I voicing?
Yeah.
Is this the part where I make the big revelation?
Gotta answer my questions.
Okay. I was voicing what I thought was phone messaging.
Phone messaging?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get called for a gig, and you go into a studio, and what's the kind of thing they were asking you to say?
Well, I was actually working for a company that I had worked for a long time and still work for, and they do a lot of messaging and informative types of messages.
Are you talking about like when you call a company and they say, you are the fourth person in line, your call is important to us?
That's something very similar to that, yes.
Okay, so
yeah.
Give me an example of something you voiced for them.
I'm the voice of a lot of different banks.
Right.
And Dell Computer.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and I'm the voice of Delta Airlines Gates Worldwide.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so 10 years ago, you got called in for a gig to do what you thought was phone messaging.
Mm-hmm.
So did you not have a script or know what you were going to be saying?
I had a script, but it was different than other scripts because it was not... the sentences weren't created for content. They were created for sound. They were trying to get all of the sound combinations in the language.
So then they could take those sounds and create their own words?
Yes. Create their own sentences, their own phrases.
Do you remember a phrase that you had to say for them?
I certainly do.
Okay, tell me one.
Militia oi hallucinate, buckra okra ooze. Or here's a beautiful one. Say the shrouding again. Say the shrouding again. Say the shrieding again. Say the shrouding again.
How long were you in the studio doing this?
Way
nonsense?
Too long. Way too long.
Hours.
Four hours a day, 5 days a week for an entire month. That was the initial vocabulary.
So you're standing there. I mean, that can be very tough on your voice.
Yes, it was. Yes, I really wasn't able to do too much. Other than that recording at the time, but it was July. It was the month of July, and there,
so it was
and that's
humid,
it. That's kind
good.
Of a, well, it's kind of a slow time, too. You know.
But people don't realize how fatiguing it is on the voice actually to talk for 4 hours.
Well, particularly that type of thing, because every single sentence and phrase had to be read in the same way, the same pacing, the same pitch, the same tone, the same intonation, because they were going to go in afterwards and extract sounds. So it had to be as consistent as possible. So on the one hand, it's probably as far away from creative as you could get. But on the other hand, it was challenging because you really had to fit those parameters.
I feel like we're getting to the point where you're about to tell me what this was used for. I'm going to say, oh my gosh, I use that all the time.
Yes.
But before we get there, how do you know how you got the gig? I mean, what were they looking for? What did they like in your voice?
I don't know. I think it was probably because my voice can sound pleasant, but authoritative and articulate.
Okay.
Articulation was quite important.
Okay. So this is 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. How long did it take before you heard a finished product of your voice from this gig?
It took 6 years.
6 years. So yes. They took your voice into the lab or computer lab or wherever it was, and they worked with it for 6 years.
Yes.
Wow, those people must be sick of your voice.
Oh, yeah. And I was not the only one.
Oh, there were a number of voices making sounds.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so 6 years after you did that, some product emerged into the market that had your voice all over it.
Correct.
Saying words that you had never said.
Correct. Saying phrases I had never said.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you buy it? I mean, did they tell you it was coming out? Did you have a warning? You didn't know?
No. Complete surprise.
Okay. Did you buy one? Did anybody recognize your voice?
Some people did. And some people didn't. Even other professional voice actors didn't always recognize my voice. So they manipulated the voice after the recordings were done to make it sound a certain way for them.
Okay, it has to be something like Google Maps, right? I mean,
Similar.
Oh, did you buy the product?
Eventually.
Eventually, but you didn't, right? That's not how you found out. How did you find out?
A fellow voice actor emailed me and said, hey, we're listening to this. Isn't this you?
So somebody recognized it.
Somebody recognized it.
Even though it was not things you'd ever said in real life.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they just recognized the sound of my voice.
All right. What's the product?
I'm the original voice of Siri.
Okay. And you're from Georgia?
I'm from Atlanta, yes.
Okay, so I mean, one thing is that you couldn't have had a Georgia accent in order for them to pick you.
Correct. Well, I'm not from Georgia. I'm from New England.
Which makes sense.
Which
but
is,
you can't even have a New England accent.
Right. There's a very thick accent there, too. Yes, I was fortunate enough in the sixth grade to move to upstate New York, where their accent, there's a very small accent. They're kind of on their way to the Midwest, so they say fast instead of fast. But I lost the New England accent there and got much more of a neutral accent. And then once I started doing voice work, I was very careful not to attain any other type of accent.
Did you purposely lose that accent?
No, it just happened naturally. It was just sort of
But you made sure that it stayed away.
I think it was in the plan, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so do you own an Apple product now?
Of course, yes.
And do you make yourself say things all the time?
No.
I would be doing that all day long.
No, you wouldn't.
No, really?
No, it's very, very strange. I was used to hearing my voice on radio and TV commercials or in, you know, instructional videos and documentaries and things like that. But to have your voice come out of this little tiny computerized phone system that you hold in your hand and have it be an actual persona. It wasn't just a voice. It was Siri.
Yeah.
And she's iconic.
And she's a little bit sassy.
She's very sassy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's jealous of other voice-activated programs.
Oh, yes. Yes. In fact, I've had a lot of fun playing that voice. I did that in a contest between Siri and Alexa for Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, that was really fun. Yeah. Siri always wins.
Siri does always win,
Siri
kind of.
Always wins.
And
yes.
She knows what you really
yes.
meant.
Yes.
So for the 6 years that were happening between, did you know, when they hired you, did you know it was Apple?
No. Apple came in after the fact. All of these original recordings were done for a company that was called ScanSoft and became Nuance. And it's the biggest text-to-speech company in the world. So they're the biggest group that does this process called concatenation, which is they take your voice and they, you know, take little snippets of sound from it and make your voice say other things that you may not ever have said in your whole life or want to say.
Yeah. So Siri doesn't swear, though.
Well, you just have never heard her.
Siri does swear? Oh, I know people have spent a huge amount of time trying to make her swear.
Oh, listen, I'm sorry. Siri has a secret life, so, you know.
So, but now that you're Siri and a recognizable voice, you can't be somebody else's voice of their program, right?
Well,
are you, I mean, let me ask that a different way. Are you contractually obligated to not do this for someone else?
No, and that's the reason why all of the original Siri voices worldwide were changed with the OS 7 system. So it's no longer my voice, and none of us had non-disclosure agreements. And I think
it's still my voice because I have an old iPad. But
oh, good.
I mean, I still have you.
Well, you have the better voice. Yeah. And so, I think the newer voices are a little less, maybe have a little less dry sense of humor, a little more generic. And of course, now the current series now say things like text, what I call text speech, like LOL instead of laughing.
Oh, right.
You know, of course, I always say, how would Siri laugh? That could be scary.
Yeah. Do you still sing? Have you kept these two careers going at
the
same time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what voice part are you? Are you an alto?
I am an alto now. I used to be a soprano.
So when Siri was recorded, were you a soprano, a higher voice?
Probably.
It sounds like you still have a little bit of that bass in your voice. Siri does anyway.
Oh, I can. Yeah. And I can also sound like this. You know, that's the thing about voice talent, and one of the reasons why it took me a really long time to reveal myself as Siri, because as a voice actor, we're used to being invisible and anonymous, and for the most, usually that is in our favor, because it's like the TV show The Voice. When we do an audition, people don't know what we look like, where we're from,
any of that. You mean the part because they have their backs turned?
Right. Yeah. So the talent is being judged just on their voice and their performance. And so I knew that once I became Siri, it seems to be human nature to stereotype people. And so I knew once I revealed myself as Siri, that I would have nothing but Siri jobs. You know,
is that turned out to be the case?
Mostly, yeah.
Really?
Yes, it's disappointing. But I think we're in that ADD culture where people really don't take the time to investigate what else you can do. And so you have to kind of hit them over the head to display what other things you can do.
So you know, on the whole, was Siri good for business for you or not?
Well, it's like everything else in life. It has its positives and its negatives. The negative is that we were just paid for our original hourly work. We were not paid for being on millions and millions of devices. And there's one original Siri, and I won't reveal the name or the country that he came from. But he lost a major gig because when they found out that he was on the iPhone, there was a conflict, and that was that.
Was it the British guy?
No.
Oh, because that would make me feel bad. He's my voice.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's a wonderful guy. I have not met him in person, but we've exchanged emails, and he's just terrific. Yeah.
Okay, so last question before you go. Which is better? Which do you enjoy more, the voice work or the singing?
That is really tough to say. I guess I would have to say it depends on what the job is, because there are really fun voice jobs and there are really tedious voice jobs, i.e. Siri. And then the same thing with singing. But I'm in a band now that's just fabulous called Boomers Gone Wild, and we play nothing but 60s and 70s rock and soul music. And that is 100% fun. So I guess at this point in time, I don't know, the boomers might be edging out the voice. I don't know. It's close. It's a tie.
All right. So I got to ask you, can you say this is On Second Thought from GPB News as Siri for me?
Not unless you pay me.
I got a quarter.
No, that won't do it. No, no.
Siri, damn it, this is public radio. We don't have any money.
No, I can say, I've enjoyed talking to you, Celeste. Bye-bye now.
Susan Bennett, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Happy birthday, Siri.
It's my birthday.
Yes, you were born 1 year ago.
That's what I thought.
How old are you?
I'm old enough to be your assistant.
Come on. How old are you?
I don't see why that should matter.
Where do you live?
Wherever you are. That's where I am.
That's sweet.
Yes.